This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope.
And yes, you do have a lot of that.
Yeah, I do have a lot of that stuff. And with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Cohort.
Yeah, my cohort.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
So today is our 5-year anniversary on the radio.
On the radio.
Ooh, on the radio. What was that, Donna Summer?
Oh, I know what song you mean.
Yes. That was a good song. That was a really good song. Yeah, so happy anniversary. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited that we lasted 5 years. That in 5 years we've learned so much stuff. We've had fabulous guests.
I've learned lots of stuff.
Yeah, we've met lots of new people, and our audience has built, which is fabulous because we're just here to help the caregivers in any way we can.
Yes.
And we're very pretty transparent, so it's what you see is what you get. And
I think sometimes you don't want it,
but I think people kind of relate to that, so that's a really good thing. So today we have with me my friend Jane Morris-Sweat from Women with Purpose. How are you?
I'm great.
So glad to have you here today.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm very happy to be here.
It's fun to be here.
Yeah.
You were with us in the very beginning when we were at the other station and everything. That was
That's really interesting. Crazy.
The very first show, the very first day, it's like 1 minute. The show went on at 12 at that time on Saturdays. And it was like 1 minute to 12. And the power goes down in the station.
Of course it does.
And like we're sitting here with all our headphones on, like sweats going down the side of our face.
No, I was like, yay, I don't have to go on. It was scary.
But we learned. We learned a lot of stuff. And with us also today, we have Christina Williams. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Christina and I met through one of my support groups a few months back, and I meet fabulous people in my support groups that have a lot to bring to the table. So
Thank
I'm
you.
Really glad that you're here today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk specifically about my subject and community.
Yes. And we want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Rita in Valrico, Jesse in St. Pete, and Grace in Tampa.
Well, welcome, ladies, and maybe gentlemen, Jesse, girl.
I don't know. Well, just said Jesse.
Welcome all.
So, like we say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us on AM/FM or on Facebook or on YouTube or on repeats or wherever you can get us. It's like enough is enough. My grandchildren are like, enough is enough, Grandma. My grandson's 18, his friends come in the house, I go, pull out your phone, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hey, and this is stuff those kids need to learn about because they're going to be taking care of us.
Exactly.
And none of these issues are going away. They're still here.
No time soon.
Yeah. So, Jane, I love everything you do with Women with Purpose.
Thank you.
And I know it's really difficult what you do, though.
It is.
Especially in the climate today. So, first, tell our listeners about how this happened.
How Women with Purpose happened? Well, I was working with a oncology office for over 20 years. And the last 5 years I was with them, we had a nonprofit that was helping cancer families with non-medical financial assistance. And then we were bought out, and I stayed with this new company for a year and a half and basically kept getting my hands slapped. You can't help that family. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And so as my eye was twitching and...
Oh, God, I have had that twitching
I know. And I was, gaining weight and blood pressure was going crazy. I quit. And so I had my aha Oprah moment, if you will, at 3:00 in the morning and said, you know what? I'm going to do this myself. I don't have ongoing funds, but I had a lot of support from not just patients, but also friends that
that helped you
that
do
liked,
it.
That liked the whole concept of it. Right. So we started, and we started right away having fundraisers. But now, in this day and age, it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to do fundraisers. It takes so much energy. It takes way too much money for what you get in return. So, you know, I would love to have lots of donors out there.
You know what? I think it's so important what you do, because she helps people with non
medical.
So that means your rent, your car repair, stuff maybe your kids need. You know, there's a whole big gamut here of stuff that's needed.
Well, we've been able to not only keep families, but single moms with children in their homes. We have kept people out of foreclosure so that they can keep in their homes. I mean, there's so much to that side of cancer that a lot of people really do not think about. And, you know, the gift cards and the gas cards, because a lot of people go to Moffitt. Moffitt
is a hike.
A big hike from St. Pete or anywhere in Pinellas.
Yeah.
So it's an avenue to not only help people in our community, but when you think about the infrastructure, if I'm keeping that family in their home, they can pay their rent, and that not only helps the landlord, but it helps the whole infrastructure of the community. Yeah. Electric bills. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a toughie in Florida especially. You need air constantly.
Everything has gone up.
Yeah.
What rents that used to be $800 are now double that.
Yeah.
And we don't have that kind of money.
And food is, too. Food has gone up crazy.
You know what? And what I don't understand is people say, oh, I want to help. I want to help. So help. Put your money where your mouth is. If you can go to the website. If everybody gave $10 a month.
That's what I keep preaching. You know, if everybody listening today, go on our website, womenwithpurposefl.org, and sign up for PayPal, sign up for Spot On. We can do so much if everybody paid just $10 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, we were doing some virtual networking meetings, and I would say to the girls on the meeting, I go, so you didn't pay for any lunch today.
Right.
Right? We didn't go to any restaurant. I think you need to go to Women with Purpose, and your $10 for lunch or whatever, just do it. Just do it, because you know what? Everyone is affected by cancer.
In one way or another.
Everyone.
Exactly.
Somewhere.
Yep. Yep.
So, and it's up to us to do so. And I love your motto, give where you live.
Give where you live. I am such a proponent of helping local nonprofits. Because if you go on some of these national organizations, even some of the local ones, look at their 990s and find
out. Tell people what's a 990.
The 990s are their tax returns. And you kind of have to dig around and keep looking to see exactly how much the CEO makes, how much the CFO makes, whether or not, you know, their mission is paying for, is doing what their mission is supposed to do.
To be doing.
Yeah. And if board members have to pay X amount of money, some board members have to pay exorbitant amount of money to be part of an organization. To me, it's wrong.
And administrative fees, too. For me, when I'm looking at organizations, I want to help. I really want the money to go to the program. Mm-hmm. So I look and factor in administrative fees. I know administration is a component of running any nonprofit. I get that. But I don't want 15% of the money I donate to be going to that. So that's something that listeners need to be mindful of as well.
Yeah, to look to see.
But 15%?
Ha! That's a good one.
That was back in the day. I have my ones I stick to now.
I donated to something, and then it was on News Channel 8, where it had an expose. 10% of it only went to
To the actual mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for Women with Purpose, none of us makes any money. I may pay every, like I have some guy look at my computer, wonderful gentleman, and, you know, he charges me minimally. And, you know, paper, I now get my husband to go out and buy all the paper and everything.
Yay.
I get a break on toner from another friend of mine. So, you know.
Every little bit counts, though.
Absolutely. And I've even had people say, oh, here comes Jane. She wants it for free.
Yes, I do. I do.
That's right.
Because you're helping people for free.
Exactly.
So it's like free, free, free.
Ask.
Yeah.
The commercial.
And now with COVID, it's like so many of my volunteers have had health issues of themselves, taking care of elderly parents, you know, kind of falling off the grid a little bit. So
they don't have that tribe there that's backing you up.
Yeah. Not like it was before COVID.
Well, hopefully. I think the climate is rising a little bit here. We're getting back out and we're doing some stuff. You know, I think there's just been too much isolation. I've been talking to a bunch of gals. This is what I want to do. Maybe in, let's say, 6 months or whatever. I want to rent a whole hotel on the beach. Like a mom and pop, a place that's got like 20 rooms or whatever, and just have a bunch of girls there.
I would
for like 3 days.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, every person I mention to, they go,
we sign up.
We're ready,
And we just go do and have conversations.
Yes.
And have a little wine, and maybe have a little chair massage or whatever.
Little wine?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear, Jane.
Yeah, but you know what? We need to, because sometimes those kind of things is when the best ideas come up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you get together and you have that synergy and you have, you know, you remember I used to do the gratitude dinners at my clubhouse.
Yes.
So I would have a gratitude dinner. So everybody would come and they would just bring a dish to share. And each person chipped in $10 to Women with Purpose. And we just shared a night of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, the whole building was like damn vibrating. Because there was, you know, there was just such an energy there when we get together and we put our minds together. It's just, Lynn's like, I hated those gratitude dinners.
She's not saying a damn word.
Women make things work. Women make things go.
It takes moxie to change things. I have a shirt that I'm a moxie woman because it takes that.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You have to get that shirt.
Yeah. It's good to be bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good to speak out.
As my grandma used to say, closed mouths don't get fed.
Mmm.
So that covers a gamut of things. You got to open your mouth. You got to say what you want. That's why.
Yeah.
You got to put it out there. You need.
Yeah, you really do. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
So this is a passion, a life, something that chose me. I didn't choose it. Speaking to people about Alzheimer's and dementia in particular, specifically to the African-American culture, because all things are not homogenous, so there are separate distinctions within our community and reasons why we don't seek the treatment or get the treatment early on for those type of diagnoses.
All right, so why don't we get the treatment early on?
Well, I think there's major components. But a couple that I've pinpointed in my caregiving experience. Mm-hmm. Can I back up a little bit and kind of tell you how I came to this?
Yeah.
Okay, so my mother is 69 years old, and she has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. 69 is really key, as Lynn just did. That's a big deal at 69 because it's very young. But prior to that, she had a stroke at the age of 42. And then within less than 3 months, her mother died. So there's a lot of components there. I don't think she ever properly grieved my grandmother. Mm-hmm. Then she had, she had a neurological impairment. So all of those things are components. So now it's 2014 and she's different. So I started watching her in 2014 and jogging and journaling things that she would do. Some of the things were like paying bills late, emotion. And my mother was always paying bills on time. Like when she's that habitual person. She worked for the sheriff's department for 30 years.
Oh yeah.
She got her check on Friday. She cashed her check and she went around and paid everybody.
Yeah.
So when you see those changes where she's paying late payments or complete disorganization, can't find things, the rationale of where she would look for a thing was off. You know, she wouldn't just go look on a table. She'd look in a cupboard above the refrigerator for something that's like her keys. I remember one time in particular, she lost her keys and she went outside and looked at them in the big garbage can outside that the city picks up, and that just wasn't sensical to me.
Right.
So those things I started charting, and so that's what's kind of brought me to it. And so her diagnosis came in 2018, like I said, so that's a 4-year gap.
Yeah.
In between that, me trying to chart it, my mother's a very private person, has always been, has a very strong will, and that has benefited her in a lot of ways because she has a resilience about her.
Yeah.
But that has also made it challenging when you're trying to tell someone that you think there's a concern there and you want them to get treatment.
Don't you tell me what
you are the daughter. You're not my parent.
I changed your diaper.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Same thing with my mother.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of what brought me here.
I might say the same darn thing one day.
Oh, no, Linda, you're too enlightened now. You get no escape. You can't do it now. Now, when you know better, you do better.
That's right.
So that's kind of what brought me here to this forum and of why I find it so passionate. Like I said, I didn't choose it, but it chose me. And so,
how is she now?
I think overall my mother is well in the sense of she's lost 20 to 24 pounds
in the last
6-7 months, and I'm still a little plush here. So
I like that plush.
Oh, I used that with one of my doctors one time.
Ooh,
he's
like that.
He's like,
yes.
Are you inflamed? Are you? Is this inflammation? I'm like, no, I'm just plush. So let's move on to the next question.
I like
so, that. So with noticing her weight loss and such, it's just been a catalyst for me to get on program because that's something I find also with caregivers. You take care of the person who has the illness,
and not
everybody's
yourself.
Doted on them. But yeah, you start falling by the wayside.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then you get too fluffy.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's not plush; it's fluffy.
Fluffy,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Because your caregiving experience either happens overnight, it's a diagnosis, it's an accident, it's a fall, or whatever. Or it happens so damn gradual that you don't realize it. And you know, when I first started doing this 15 years ago, I had to teach the caregivers that they were caregivers before I could help them. Because I'm not a caregiver. I am the responsible daughter. I am the good spouse.
Yeah,
exactly.
I am the sister. You know, I'm the oldest. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Until all of a sudden it's like, what the heck? What the heck's going on? And I was like, do you do this? Do you do that? Do you do this? And they go, yeah. I go, you're a caregiver.
And one of my support groups really pointed that out. One of the leaders of it, she was like, the things that she used to do for her mother, like all you said, all the duties. And when her mother went into a facility, she realized, like, I was a life, you know, I was a manager. I was doing this. I was doing that. Now they have an interdisciplinary system in that facility that handles all of this. But I was that one person.
Right.
And Maria's listening today, but when she said that, it was like very poignant because I'm like, yes, that's what we do. You think you're just supposed to do it, but it wears on you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think, this is what I hear from caregivers all the time, it's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, did you cause this illness? No. Why is that your responsibility? This is your person that you love, but it's not your responsibility to do it by yourself. Because it's too difficult. If you have a brand new baby, people come in, let me help you with the baby, let me do this, let me do that. Well, I got a big baby now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roles change.
They do.
That needs to, well, I was telling them on the support group this morning, and I have to repeat this, I'm going to be probably repeating this for a while. There's a new app, and it's called Circle Of. Free app to caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Circle OF. So you go on there, and you create a little profile for your loved one. And then you could have like an immediate circle. Let's say it's your friend, your family.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's prescription changed or mom had a fall or whatever. Well, I can go on there and like post it and everybody knows about it. So I don't have to call you tonight and my other sister tonight. And I don't have to hear about it, didn't tell you. I don't have to hear about I'm not doing it right, you know.
Yeah.
But then you can create a bigger circle with friends, family, people from church or whatever. Well, you go on, you post, I could have help if someone could mow my lawn, or I could have help if somebody could help me with laundry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then your friends that are in that circle go on and they go, bang, Wednesday, 2:00, I'm coming to do your laundry.
It's easier to write it down than ask in person.
Yeah, I, as the friend that really wants to help.
You have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I also don't have to ask you as a caregiver.
Exactly.
Right.
That's tough,
that
isn't
is
it?
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We always also, you know, when there are big families and you've got somebody going through chemo and, you know, their diagnosis and everything, it's like you don't want to leave anyone out, but you need that one person that can you talk to and relay all the messages to. And, you know, otherwise you're on the phone all the time with every...
It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
Yeah.
Really. Exhausting that was and the emotional. Worst.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I'm done at the end of the day as a caregiver.
And then if you call one child, really? The other children, why wasn't I called first?
Yeah.
Because I like them better. I just felt like saying...
But then that one kid is like, don't even call me.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We don't have
I don't
do
need the updates.
So before we go to commercial break, tell us, our listeners, where they can find you.
You can
right here.
Find me. I have Facebook. I have a website, which I said a little bit earlier. It's www. I don't know if you even need that anymore days. But Women with Purpose, FL, don't forget that,
FL.org.
And if you call me, which is 727-641-3171, leave a message that you want an application, and then that's easier for me to just send you the application right away.
Yeah.
Rather than go through all kinds of messages.
Right. And so, like, if you have a company now, I think, like, you should have a meeting in your office next week and say, have any of you been affected by cancer? And I think everybody's going to say, yeah. And I think you're going to say, okay, so this month, everybody that comes to work on time, I'm going to donate $10 to Women with Purpose or something like that. We can do some fun.
Oh, I'd have to do my own donating. I was never on time.
All right, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal, if you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Care.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're right back, and now we're going to hear from our wonderful Dr. Schumann. Hey, Doc.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing on this lovely Friday?
Great. Joyful and grateful. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful.
So what tip do you have for us today, Doc?
So today I wanted to talk a little bit about using a laptop or a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. That everyone uses.
Yeah, so especially if your laptop is your main computer at home, right? So I kind of hear this a lot lately in the office, so I thought I'd bring it up to everybody's attention. So cell phones and laptops. So we tend to look down at these a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the laptop is that the monitor is connected to the keyboard. So you're kind of forced to keep it low, and which requires you to look down at it. So for those of you that use the laptop at home as your main computer, you're going to want to do one of two things. One, you could purchase a monitor where you can link it to and use that laptop as the keyboard, just so you can get the monitor up so you don't have to look down the whole time.
Right.
Or you can plug a keyboard into it and elevate the laptop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that way you're not consistently looking down at that that screen for hours upon hours.
Or use an iPad.
Same thing with the tablets, yeah. Right? So cell phone and tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Elevating the screen. So again, you can use a pillow and prop it up. Right. Put your elbows on that pillow and elevate that tablet or that cell phone. So you're not looking down the entire time.
Yeah, which I think, you know, people are just in so much in that habit. You see people sitting at a table, you see them walking, they're all looking down. They're looking down on their screen. They're looking down on their screen.
True. So looking down for extended periods of time is only going to lead to more posture problems or neck pain.
Yeah, and could be learned to lead to some long-term problems.
Oh, absolutely. So that's what I mean by posture, right? So excessive flexion over, again, years, we're talking about flattening of the curve and having pain and degeneration of the mm-hmm. spine.
And kids use it so young now.
Gosh. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most kids have a tablet, yeah.
Well, I think maybe the whole thing is, too, another discussion is about don't just sit on it for an hour. Get up and do something. Walk around. Don't be on that instrument all day long. Live your life.
Yep. Then make sure you're taking breaks and that you're doing other things.
Yeah. Even if it's just to get up and walk around the house for a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, the golden rule I talk about in the office is about 30 minutes. Right? So every 30 minutes, you should be taking a tiny walk or at least standing. Right? If that's not possible, at least once an hour.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
No problem.
We appreciate you. Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks. I love Dr. Bye. Schumann. Dr. Schumann is my physical therapist, and my chiropractor is also in his office. They take really good care of me and give a lot of education, which I think is just fabulous. And they're going to be part of the conference. Oh, the conference.
Tell us about the conference.
The conference is May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The website just launched this morning, connectingcaregiversconference.com. So you can go there and register. We will have 21 sessions over 3 days, all virtual from the comfort of your home. And just by registering, even if you cannot come the whole time after the conference, you will be privy to all the recordings. So we'll have 3 speakers each day in the morning. And then at lunch, then we have like a 20-minute break. And then one day we have Reiki. The next day we have yoga. And the next one, I think, is chair massage. And then we have like a half-hour break. And then each day we have A&E Corner, which is adaptive equipment. So they're going to show us the best new equipment for caregivers for the bathroom, for the bedroom, for the kitchen, or where they did a whole thing on adaptable clothing the last conference. And then we'll have 2 speakers in the afternoon. And our last speaker on Thursday, Dr. Karen Truman, will be offering CEUs. So if you need CEUs, you can register for the conference. You go to her course. After that, you take a little test and send her $10 via PayPal, and you get your CEU.
CEU,
Continuing Education Units. So I'm very excited about this. You know, we had 425 at the last conference. I'm pushing for 1,000 this one. We're going to do some big advertising, and so I'm not looking for much. But it's exciting because every single person from the first conference was like, thanks, Linda, that was good, I can go back to it. And we're just here to give that information. So go to connectingcaregiversconference.com.
And it's now up and running.
Yes, and tell your friends.
Yeah, tell all your kids and everybody else.
Well, you know what? You should tell your kids because your kids need to learn about this stuff that they don't know about yet.
That's
and
right.
It's the first weekend in May?
May 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
So we'll That's have, a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah. We'll have cool. Sean Scott, an elder care attorney. We will have Dr. Kate McCarty. We will have Dr. Karen Truman. We will have The Joy of Dementia. We will have Teresa Wilbanks with Sustainable Caregiving.
Perfect.
We'll have Delon Canterbury is going to talk about de-prescribing medication. Because we don't need all those medications. So just a whole bunch of really good stuff. So, all right. So, Christina, let's talk a little bit further because I want to get into some of the meat of some of this stuff.
Sure, the meat.
So what do you think are some of the specific challenges in your community, in your...
And when I speak of my community, I'm going to say African-American. It can encompass the people, you know, people of color in general, but I can only speak from my vantage point as an African-American. I think we have to go to the history, and we've, you know, this country has a history of racial inequities and racial distrust in the medical system. So you cannot have the conversation today without going back to the past.
Right.
And so there's
for all of us.
Yeah, for all of us, yes. But there's times when people are coming into your community and they're talking to you and they don't look like you, there may be an inherent distrust. I'm not saying that in all cases, but there is a component of that. So that's one of the things that I think makes it impactful and why there's a distinction within our community. I think there's also a sense of denial and shame. And for me, denial is anything that you keep, anything that you are not able to acknowledge, you keep it in the dark.
Yeah.
And you can't get the help
that you...
Yeah, and by denial, I mean, we know the health issues that are out there that, you know, have been linked with our communities, hypertension, diabetes. There's been an influx of information about those. But when you talk about a mental... or what I like to call a brain issue,
because than dementia.
That it's a brain issue, it's a brain injury. And again, these are not all my thoughts. These are some of the things I've acquired along the way with my support groups. But if we looked at it in that aspect, as like we look at asthma, that's a respiratory issue.
Right.
If we look at, you know, the heart disease, or I have had a keratoconus. I had a transplant of a cornea. That's an eye issue. We stay focused on that and we seek treatment for that. But when you talk about anything that's linked with mental or the brain, people just shy away from it. And I guess the old philosophy or the old mindset of people being senile or being labeled crazy when they just were impaired and did not get the understanding and early diagnosis to get the treatment for that.
Well, there was no treatment. This was the word. Grandma's getting senile. We put her in the bedroom.
You put him away.
Mm-hmm. Put him in a bed.
Yeah.
And because we didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. So as education comes, you have to take away those old stigmas to it. And again, for me, the denial is huge. And I also think another component in our community in particular is we have been a community that has relied heavily on religion and our spirituality. And again, I use the word resilience because I think that has gotten us through a lot of horrible things in this history of America. And I also, so I don't shy away from that. I think it's a beautiful component, but I don't think it has to be either or. And so I know specifically I've been in association with some people that feel like if you talk about it or if you bring it, if you talk about mental illness, you're claiming the disease. Whereas I don't look at it as that. I look at it as I do believe in the power of manifestation and what you speak and the power of the tongue, that you can speak life and death into yourself. You can speak negative and positive into your existence. With that being said, I don't think that when you acknowledge medical issues and you get treatment, that means that your faith is lacking. I think it's both of them.
Exactly.
I use this phrase Rubik's Cube because that's what life is to me. It's, you know, you get the mental health, you get the spiritual health, you get your physical health and treatment, you get cognitive therapy. All of those things go together to help this journey for me specifically.
So, and I think too, there's a lot of people, there's a shame of this.
Oh, definitely.
It's a shame and
like you did something to get it.
Yeah, like I gave my mother a shot, gave her dementia. You know, and then there's been a lot of many churches don't even address that. And you know, I'll have a caregiver come to me and say, I remember this one caregiver and she was like, Linda, I can't go anywhere anymore. I take care of my husband 24/7. His behavior's terrible. I can't, but I want to go to to church. I just want to go to church. Well, so why can't churches have, just like they have...
daycare.
Sunday school for kids.
Right.
Why can't we have a room Sunday school for people with dementia?
And that's to me, spiritually, that's your place of refuge. Right. That is where you're supposed to be going to get encouraged and edified. So I completely agree with you. And that's something that, you know, I'm asking God to help lead me on in the process of how to bring it to where Black people, African American people, where we are. And we are historically in churches. So that relationship needs to be with the churches so that it is welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, if we can just put those components together, we can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
We can really make
there's
a lot
so many
of changes.
Things that we, if we bring everything and everyone together.
Well, that's what I love about this Tampa Bay area, though.
Yeah.
You know what? A lot of people here really want to work together. They want to make a difference. And it's not like, oh, use my business. Because, you know what? You pass it on to the person that's most appropriate for them. Or the person that needs it the most, you know, whatever. And it comes back to you all the time.
All the time.
Because I go speak in other states and stuff. It's not the same like here.
No. Well, and I think we're all great connectors because, I mean, you're a blessing to this community with everything that you know and have done. And now...
Yeah,
I've got
we have
all
new
kinds of ideas for you.
I saw them
lady.
Going through your head earlier when you were looking at me. You're like, "Yeah, we're gonna link up."
Well, I'll tell you, it's really funny because, like, I'm booking guests. I'm like, she needs to meet her. What a better way to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to see it because there is so much that we can do in our communities, and let's just figure it out and let's get together.
You had a guest 2 years ago, Renee.
Yes.
I can't remember her last name. I don't want to get it wrong. But they hosted an event at a church in Tampa. And I want to say it was like February, March of 2020, right before the shutdown happened.
Yeah.
And it was called In Their Right Mind. She did a film on it. And it's called In Your Right Mind. It's specifically about the African-American culture. And it was beautiful. I went to that event, and it was so beautiful to see.
I was there, too.
At the time,
we didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
But listening to...
That's so cool.
Caregivers speak and speak so openly and just be in a room of people that were open to getting information. That was a beautiful experience for me. And that's kind of what just kind of was on the catalyst of like, okay, this is what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
And
this
wow.
is what I can
Good
do.
For you.
This is what I can do and I can make a difference. And you know, if each person listening just sits down for a minute and think of a way that we can work with you or that we can help you or how you can help your neighbor or how you can approach your church. There's many things because you know what? This is not going away.
No.
None of it's going away.
Yeah.
I mean, AIDS is back in the forefront.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're living so much older than
we
ever did before.
You don't hear so much about because of COVID. I didn't hear anything for so long.
Yeah, no, but it's still out there, and there's still so many, you know, blocks to what we're told we should think and what we should do, and you know, veterans and human trafficking. I mean, there's so much out there with things that we can make a difference.
That's the thing. You just named like three different vulnerable populations.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your passion is, you can find a passion if you have, there's something to find passion in.
Yeah.
So that's
Absolutely.
I just encourage everybody, find what works for you and what like calls you.
Well, because it wakes you up in the morning feeling good.
Yeah.
It wakes you up in the morning with a purpose. We all want a purpose. And I think we get stuck in our day-to-day life without a separate, I know what my purpose is. It took me a long time to find it. I know what my purpose is. I think some people don't know that. And if you could take that time to just think about it, why am I here? How can I make a difference? Everybody can make a difference some way.
Everywhere.
Everybody can make a difference some way.
Whether it's just smiling and saying hello to the person that's behind you at the grocery store, you know?
And just being kind.
You don't know what they're going through.
You know,
well, your shirt.
Yeah, I like that.
That Lynn gave me for my birthday.
I like that.
But, you know, it's just, this is what I realized after a long time. Took me a long time to realize this. But we're all exactly the same schmoes.
Yeah.
This is what I say.
We're all connected.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want to be loved. You want your health. You want a roof over your head. It's nice to have some nice stuff. And maybe you have different hobbies or interests.
But basically, we're exactly the same.
Your basic concerns are
And when you realize that, you get to meet so many more cool people.
Well, the other thing, too, have you done Ancestry.com?
Yeah.
We're connected, girlfriend.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know the original origin. Yes, we all are.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody's story the other day. So a couple of years ago, my nephew sends us all the kit for Christmas or whatever, and I'm like, I don't really care. You know, like, I know my parents. I don't care, whatever. Oh, do it. So I was going to have my dog spit in it. No. I'm Scottish Terrier and Great Dane. But I didn't. But I didn't. And I did it, and I met some cousins right in the area.
Yeah.
That, you know, it turns out this woman met me one day, and then she's like, we had a great lunch. And then, like, a year later, she retired. So now she was really getting into the genealogy. And she said, I have some pictures at my house. Do you think you could stop by? I think, you know, I can't identify these people. I'm like, that's my sister. That's my cousin. Wow. And there were some photos that, you know, you have that same photo everybody in the family has.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were ones I never saw before.
Yeah.
And she was so kind when she did. Thank you, Sue.
That is so cool.
She scanned all the photos and kept the scans and gave me the originals to send to the in the family, whoever the person was. Uh-huh. And one was like her first birth picture. My cousin's
that she
first
didn't have.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's really cool. All right, it's time to listen, to hear from, to what? To do the 150, dance?
150, it's not.
No, it's not, but I'm thinking I'm on the old show. to our wonderful clients. So don't go away, we'll be right back.
Okay. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle
struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. So let's get back to what we were talking about a little bit there.
What, Peru?
Peru, yeah. I'm going to Peru.
I need to hear about that.
Yeah, I'm getting a little... Well, I made a deal with myself 9 months ago that I'm going away once a month for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Cool. Because I'll be 69 this year, and the knees are hurting a little bit or whatever, and I've been having this whole concern, oh, I need to do it later, but what if later doesn't happen?
No. Yep. Yeah, you're a baby.
You know,
honey.
So I see it every day. I see what happens. I see what happens every day. And so I've, for 9 months consistently, I've gone away every month.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Bravo.
And in fact, in May, I'm going back to New York City to see my stepmother lives in Greenwich Village. And she's like, can you come back for Mother's Day? And I've never spent a Mother's Day with my stepmother. It's always with my mother or with my grandchildren and my daughter. And I'm like, heck yeah. And she goes, oh, good, because the day before, I have tickets to Radio City to Frankie Valli.
Oh, what?
Like her favorite, Frankie Valli. So, and I got round trip airfare Delta, $86.
What?
Yeah. Jeez. You can't. I went to New York City a couple weeks ago for $50.
Right? You have to triple that for the ticket.
Yeah. Well, for the cab from the airport to the house, $65. Yeah. But then the end of May, so I talk about this on my support group. So two of the people in my support group, they go, so when are you coming to Seattle, Washington? I go, give me some dates. So I'm going there the end of May.
Good.
And then I have booked Las Vegas, Grand Canyon, Peru, Maine again. Well, you know what? When you're going on a trip, it's a little pricey. But when you're going to visit family,
yeah.
I mean, for me to go to spend a week.
Stay home.
For me to go spend a week with one of my sisters, she's so bad.
She's honest.
Yep. She is. Yep. But for me to go spend a week with my sisters, right? I'm not paying anything for a hotel.
Uh-huh.
I'm not renting a car.
Right.
I'm not going out to dinner every night. Just to have a week with my sisters, each a whole separate week, was so nice. Because it's always like, it's the family function, and there's 45 people there.
Yeah.
And it's like a month after it's over, and my sister goes, I still didn't get to talk to you about what I wanted to talk to you about.
Exactly.
You know?
Zoom me when I get back home.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just so I'm very happy to be doing that. I'm really happy.
Good for you. Glad you could do it.
Yeah, I'm glad I can do it. And airfields have been pretty good. And travel, everyone that I've gone on, I've almost every time I have a blank seat next to me. I haven't felt anything bad about. I think the planes are actually probably one of the cleanest things that are around.
They said they are. The airport being a little, you know, leery.
Yeah, but that's like going in a restaurant, too.
Exactly.
And when I go in the airport, I just, like, I do the stroll, because all the suitcases have wheels now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I try to say, oh, how many steps can I get in? I like the stroll, and then when it's time to get on, you just get on, and I introduce myself to the person next to them, and then I go, bye, I'll see you later.
Oh, I'm surprised you even introduced yourself.
Well, I do, because if the plane ever goes down, I want to say, Mary!
We went to New York, the two of us, and she tried to put me in the middle, but that wasn't happening. I said, I'll take the aisle. You like the window, fine. We didn't get off the ground. There was snoring coming from the window seat.
Well, I just feel really comfortable. I feel really comfortable traveling.
I think they're real easy to fall asleep or read my book, and I've got it half read by the time we get to where we're
That's going. What I do. I read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was a kid, you know, we would go visit our grandparents in Rhode Island, and my dad would load all four kids in the small car with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be like two blocks from the house. My mom would be... And she'd be like doing the head bob, you know. And my dad's so nice, he'd try to be, don't bother mom. You know, like, mom had a path for four kids.
Yeah.
It was like, but I'm like that. I could do a car, boat, or whatever.
I know.
I don't know.
And you could do it at home, too, which I can't even do that.
Oh, I love a nap.
Not me.
Love it.
Me either.
You either?
No.
How about you?
I love naps.
I love a nap.
I wish I could.
Yeah. My husband can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some but when like it's that. Light out, I might miss something. I don't know what it is, but
I'm with you.
You might miss something.
Yeah.
But they say if you take a nap, it should be a minimum of 45 minutes. Like,
or a maximum.
Something with your system or
maximum.
Something.
Maximum.
But it shouldn't
45.
Be less than.
Yeah.
They say a 20-minute nap is not as powerful as a 45-minute nap.
I disagree with that. I've had some great power lunch naps.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I go back invigorated.
Jeez, I wish I could.
Do you remember Linda Valva that used to live
with us? Oh, I do.
So we worked, that's how we met each other. We worked in the same company. And then this other girl came to work there, Linda, too. It was a big issue. Linda. And there was only three girls in the office.
Oh, jeez.
But anyway, so this girl, Linda Belva, used to tell us that she worked for this guy, and it was just her and him in the office, and every day at a certain time, he would go in the conference room and open up a bed and take a nap and shut the door for an hour. She said, and he was a very powerful man. I guess that's cool, but I don't know if I would want to be the secretary sitting outside. And
I heard Rose Kennedy, she could do it in 10 minutes.
Really?
In the car, whatever, and that's how she lives so long. Well, I guess I'm going soon.
So, Christina, what's the last thing you want to tell our caregivers today?
That it is not selfish to take care of yourself. And I would like to share a couple of resources, if I
Please
can,
do.
Real quick. This is one of the books that originally when my mom was diagnosed, The Dementia Caregiver's Little Book of Hope. This book I carried around everywhere. Everywhere I had a chance to sit down and read, I was reading. And then I actually got extra copies, and I keep some on me now, but I gave them to family. To help better understand
and
the
Karen
disease.
Karen Truman is the one that's offering the CEUs at the conference.
I know. I heard that name, and I'm like, okay.
We love you, Karen.
So that was one of them from the African American Experience. Before I forget, this is the story of B. Smith, and she since passed from dementia, Alzheimer's. This was a really insightful book as well.
Mm.
Another one, somebody from the Alzheimer's Association, I think, told me about this one. It's a caregiver's guide to Alzheimer's. It's Layla Knox Shanks, and the title is Your Name is Hughes Hannibal Shanks.
Okay.
So it's her tribute to her husband, and she spoke very much about keeping your life separate, that you owe it to yourself to have a separate life and not feel guilty about having that because, you know, you only have one existence. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this little thing from Art and Courts.
We love Art and Courts.
Is a journal. Of your caregiver gratitude journal workshop, and I'm really big into writing and journaling.
Yeah.
So get resources early, get help early.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jane.
Friend of mine just wrote a book along with another friend of hers. My friend is Peggy Sherry.
She's going to be on the show in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. She is phenomenal.
Yeah.
She is a phenomenal woman.
Yes.
And it's tips about breast cancer, but so many things that you can take away with
she any cancer camps and all this other
any
stuff
kind of cancer and, yeah. You can get some information out of this book. And she does. She has she's a cancer survivor, breast cancer survivor herself. You know, I always say everybody has a story.
Yep.
And she has an incredible story as well. But she does these camps anywhere for any one families, one-on-one type things, the whole bit. I mean, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. So
great.
All,
I'm glad to hear that.
Good.
Yeah.
Her and I used to walk the beach years ago.
Really?
Yeah, so the last thing I just want to say before we cut off for today, if you need diapers for your loved one and you have some kind of financial issues, there's Diapers for Dignity. You can call them up at 539-7550, and I'll talk about that more next week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know how precious your time is. I really appreciate you. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
And soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night.